Before we get into the lesson this morning, I want to bring you up to date on my mother. We'd announced that she had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Well, and then we announced Wednesday night that she was going to have a brain scan on Thursday and then see a radiologist immediately after that. Well, that took place, and that was good. The brain scan indicated that the cancer had not spread to her brain, so that was fantastic. And the radiologist actually said, you really don't have stage 4 cancer. He didn't say it was stage 3, so I don't know, maybe it's 3.5 or 3.5 or something, I don't know. But anyway, he doesn't think that it's entered the blood system yet, which is good. So Wednesday, she will begin 5 daily treatments, actually Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the following Monday and Tuesday of radiology. And he's pretty confident that they're going to be able to arrest this. They'll shrink it and, I don't know, kind of talk like it'd be kind of just become inert. Not that it's cured, but at least it will stop producing the fluid. You remember she had fluid drawn off of her lung a couple weeks ago, and she has about that much fluid in her lung now, but he doesn't want to take that off. He says every time you go in there to do something like that, you run the risk of infection or collapsing the lung or something like that. So he says, we don't want to do that unless we have to. He says, once this tumor gets shrunk down and sealed, it won't be producing any fluid, and your body will take care of what's in there. So that's where we're at with that. And that's good news, and I believe that's an answer to prayer, and certainly a reason to glorify God and thank Him for the blessings that we have through His Son Christ, that He does hear and answers our prayers. In addition, my sister, a couple weeks ago, went for an exam, and there was some concern there. Some crystals, they called it, like in her breast, and so they did some further evaluation of that. And the doctor had told her that when they found the crystals, it says usually it's only about 20% that cancer will be detected from something like this. Well, she's in the 20%. So they will be able to fully arrest this. It's just a question of how they're going to do it, whether it'll be with a lumpectomy or removal of the breast. But so she sees a doctor Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday. And they'll talk about treatment on that. So please continue to remember them in your prayers. I believe God is answering those prayers, and He will continue to do so. And we thank You for your concerns. I want to present a couple of things to us this morning, remind us of a few things that we know of, but need to be reminded of from time to time. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, for it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. As we pointed out before, what he's really pointing out here is that, Lord, I know that we do not instinctively know who we are and what we're supposed to be. And that is absolutely 100% true. Animals instinctively know what they're supposed to do, and they do it. We do not instinctively know our purpose. God has revealed our purpose to us, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, that we are to revere God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. This is why man was created. We would never have come up with that on our own. Similar to this, we find in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Whenever we trust in what seems right to us, we can be sure that we are not on the way of keeping the commandments of God. We're doing what seems right to us, not what God has revealed to be right in His Word. Romans 7 and verse 18 says, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. We do not instinctively know what is good. We do not instinctively do what is good. It takes determination on our part to do what is good. It takes revelation from God to know what is good. And it takes commitment on our part to do what God has shown us what is good. And Psalm 73 and verse 24 says, You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Proverbs 19 and verse 20 through 21. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in the latter days. There are many plans in the heart of man. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. It's not in man to know what to do. Well, then how do we find him? Listen to the counsel of God. Receive instruction from God. Sometimes we talk to people and they say, well, I just feel close to God. I don't really know much about the Bible or what's in the Bible, but I just feel close to God. I'm dependent on that feeling. No, it's not in man who walks. That's not where you're going to find who you are and what God expects of you. Listen to counsel and receive instruction. So this morning I want to talk about the fact that we are to be guided by God's counsel. And the first thing that we should do in that is rejoice that we can be guided by God's counsel. And realize how marvelous of a piece of literature this book is. It's a miracle in the truest sense of the word. That God has spoken to man and he has preserved what he revealed to man in his word for every generation. And he's spoken to us in such a way that we can understand it and do his will. Psalm 23 and verse 3 says, He restores my soul. When we listen to the counsel of God, we receive that instruction, our soul is restored. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When we are led in these paths of righteousness, we glorify God. His name is glorified. Just as everything in His creation glorifies Him and His power, this is how we glorify Him. Not when we do our will, but when we do His will as revealed in and by His counsel. So why should we seek God's counsel? Revelation 3 and verse 18 gives us an indication. I counsel you to buy me gold refined in fire that you may be rich, and white raiments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. We should receive the counsel of God that we may be rich spiritually. He's not talking about financially here, but he's talking about spiritually. When we says, I counsel you that you may be rich. When he talks about to buy me gold refined in fire, not speaking literally of buying gold, pure gold, but he's talking about the fact that as we listen to the counsel of God, it's going to refine us. It's going to reprove us and convict us. It's up to us to remove the impurity that his word, that his counsel exposes. But he counsels us that we may be rich, that we might be pure, as indicated by the white garments, that we might be clothed spiritually. as he says here, that you may be clothed. And those are, you know, the white garments and the clothing are separate. I counsel you that you may be clothed, that you not be naked, that you not be ashamed. You know, when you think about nakedness, I don't know about you, but I go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. They were ashamed of their nakedness. We should be ashamed of our nakedness when we walk in the ways that seem right or the ways that feel right to us. We should rejoice in the counsel of God that clothes us with instruction in righteousness that we might be doing His will. In Galatians 3 and verses 26 and 27 says, "You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When you put your clothes on today, you display that clothing, don't you? You know, we're in a period of time. You've got the NCAA football championship tomorrow night, and we're coming up pretty close to the Super Bowl, and everybody's got their teams, and go Big Blue Kentucky, and you know all that stuff, and you put your clothing on as to who you represent. We put Christ on, and who we represent. It's not, you know, it's not that we're to go around with jewelry and T-shirts and all that kind of stuff that says I'm a Christian. No, it's to be displayed by the way that we live, that we follow Christ. We've been baptized into Christ, and having been baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. Luke 7 and verse 30 says, "The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God, not having been baptized." Have you been baptized? Have you rejected the will of God? Are you in the same situation that the Pharisees and the lawyers are in, having rejected Him? Or do you listen to the counsel of God, obey the gospel of Christ, put Christ on, and live for Him? We should seek the counsel of God that we may see also. Notice here, as we come back to Revelation 3, He says, "I counsel you that you may see." It's kind of interesting. Here we are in the year 2020. How's your vision? Are you seeing clearly? Are you seeing according to the counsel of God? Or is your vision dimmed because you're trying to see through your emotions and your feelings instead of the clear counsel of God's Word? If we seek His counsel, what will we have? Well, one thing that we'll have is freedom. John 8 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed." Can you be a true disciple of Christ without abiding in His word, without continuing by His counsel, without seeking the counsel of God as revealed in the Bible? No. "If you abide in My word," Jesus says, "you are My disciples indeed." If you abide in My word, you will know the truth. Can you find the truth someplace apart from the word of Christ? Nope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If we abide in His word, we will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Well, obviously, free from our sin. And free from ourselves. Free from what feels right. Free from what seems right. And free to, I know this is right because God says it's right. And He doesn't just say to me that it's right. He says the same thing to you. It's kind of like God's word is so clear and so distinct that just as we noticed this morning in our adult Bible study that when Stephen was teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they couldn't dispute what he was saying. They didn't agree with what he was saying. And they didn't want him to say what he was saying. But they couldn't dispute what he was saying. People are in that same situation today. How much better would they and all of us be if we would just let God's counsel guide us? That we would be of those who say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. And I hear for the purpose of doing your will, for the purpose of glorifying you." We will have peace, we will have freedom if we listen to the counsel of God. In John 14 and verses 26 through 27, Jesus said to the apostles, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Holy Spirit was going to guide the apostles into all things. When Jesus told the apostles to go into the world, all the world and preach the gospel, in Matthew 28, he says, "You will teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you." The peace that the apostle would receive by listening to the counsel of God is the peace that we can all have by being guided by the counsel of God. In John 16 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you," Jesus said, "that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The peace that we have in Christ doesn't mean that we're free from tribulation or free from troubles, free from concern. It means that in the midst of our tribulation, it means in the midst of our concerns and our trials and tribulations or whatever it might be, if we are in Christ, if we are guided by the counsel of His Word, we go through those turbulent times in peace, knowing that all things are in His control and that nothing is impossible for God. And that His will be done. And that's fine with me. There's peace in that. If we are guided by the counsel of God, we will have hope and an inheritance from God. Ephesians 1 and verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints?" Putting together a lesson on the subject of hope. We give a reason for the hope that is within us. The reason for our hope is faith. And the reason we have faith is God's revealed His Word to us, that we can have faith and trust in Him. But I want you to notice that this hope comes by being guided by the counsel of God. That it occurs to me that those who trust in themselves and trust in feelings and trust what seems right to them rather than trusting the counsel of God, they are abandoning hope of salvation in Christ. They are abandoning a hope of an inheritance from God. This hope of this inheritance comes from abiding in the counsel of God. We will have glory if we follow His counsel. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 says, "May the God of all grace," or God of all favor, "who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God is able to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. How? By the counsel of his word. If I know that I'm abiding in his word, I know everything's fine. I know I'm in a relationship with him. I know that he sees me as his child, and he will provide those things that I have need of. Psalm 73 and verse 24, we've noticed before, and kind of the text of this lesson. "You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." As we are guided by the counsel of God, we live to the glory of God. We are doing his will and glorifying him in that. Guided by God's counsel, we will display his glory, and he will lead us to his glory hereafter, that inheritance that we just spoke of. What about you? What are you trusting in? Are you trusting in what seems right? What feels right to you? Well, is it right? Do you know someone else who trusts in what feels right and seems right to them, but it doesn't agree with what feels right and seems right to you? I would venture to say you probably do know somebody like that. And you might know three or four people that have different feelings and different things that seem right to them. Do all roads lead to heaven? Does whatever seem right to us, is that what glorifies God? We have seen this morning, just from a very few passages, that what glorifies God is when we humble ourselves before him. We revere him. We stand in awe of him. And we listen to his counsel. And we are guided by his counsel, away from what might seem right or feel right to us, to do his will and to glorify him in so doing. That will lead us to his glory. What about you? Are you rich spiritually? Do you desire to be pure? To put on Christ and glorify him in abiding in his word? Walking in truth, being free? Do you desire to see spiritually? 2020 vision? Not just I feel that I'm saved, but to open your eyes and see, this is what God says, and this is what I'm doing. I know. And it's always impressed me that that's the word that Jesus and the apostles and the New Testament writers use. That you may know that you have eternal life. Not feel, but you may know that you have eternal life. Are you in Christ? Have you turned to him? Will you do his will? Whatever he says, and have that peace that passes all understanding. We would hope so. If you're here this morning and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you know that you haven't obeyed him yet, but you want to turn to him, turn away from what seems right and feels right to you, and do what you know to be right as his word tells us. Bible calls that repentance. And Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If you're ready to do that this morning, then we'd encourage you to be baptized into Christ. Put on Christ. Have your sins washed away in the blood of Christ. and rise to walk with Him in newness of life and continue to abide in His Word to His glory. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?